There was a well-known older preacher who often made reference in his lessons that there would possibly be in his assembly someone who might be hearing their very last sermon. And without a doubt, among the hundreds of listeners, there probably would be someone who might be hearing their last sermon. That right there places a very fearful responsibility upon any preacher. You know, what if I were to hear only one sermon, or maybe just one more sermon? The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is truly a great responsibility. That's why it's urgent that the gospel be preached not only by preachers, but by all Christians. And it's possible, and I certainly hope it's not the case, that in this assembly today there may be someone who's here that could be listening to the last sermon you will ever hear. One preacher made this statement. He said, "I preach as a dying man to dying men." And so there are great responsibilities that are involved in preaching the Word of God. As you just heard in our reading this morning, Paul charged that young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Have you ever thought about the type of sermon that you might want to hear if you had but just one more sermon to hear? Or maybe if you were not a Christian and you were hearing your very last sermon, what would you want that lesson to be like? I would want it to be very simple without any dramatic or theatrical effects. I would want that particular sermon to let me know what I needed to know and be very sincere. I wouldn't want that particular lesson to be watered down. I wouldn't want it to be politically correct or wishy-washy. And I really wouldn't be all that concerned about that last sermon hurting my feelings either. I would really want it to tell it like it is. But I think above all, I would want it to be a sermon about Jesus Christ. You know, in thinking about this particular last sermon that I would like to hear, you might be surprised to realize that we have an example of this very thing in the Bible. There is a Bible example. We read of a man who was to hear only one sermon so far as the record goes, and we even have a description of that sermon that God provided for him. I think that story is somewhat familiar to each of us, but I'd like to read it in your hearing again this morning. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, the Bible says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise, go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. "And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And the eunuch said, 'How can I, except some man should guide me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep who is led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Now here we see an Ethiopian nobleman who had been to Jerusalem to worship. That means he either was a devout Jew or else he was a proselyte, one that was converted to the Jewish religion. And this particular man had also come more than 1,000 miles in order to worship the true God in the Old Testament way at Jerusalem. And God was so concerned about his soul that he sent Philip the evangelist to intercept him on the Gaza road to preach unto him the gospel, which is, of course, God's power to salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And I can't help but wonder why this open-minded individual had not been told about Jesus Christ when he was in Jerusalem to begin with. Had not the church just begun? Weren't there thousands converted to New Testament Christianity? You know, we may wonder if among the thousands of new Christians in Jerusalem that there was not someone who failed to teach him, just as we oftentimes, I'm afraid, fail to take advantages of those opportunities that come our way. And when Philip came to the eunuch, the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. And that's the part this morning that I really want to emphasize. Beginning with the prophet Isaiah, where the eunuch was reading, Philip told him of the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. After this, we're really left to our own imagination to know what was included in this sermon, delivered so simply on a country road so many years ago. But you know, after Philip talked about the prophecies concerning the coming of our Lord, he must have talked about how all those prophecies came to pass. He possibly even referred to verses that we're familiar with, to concepts like, you know, John 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or you think about Matthew 1 and verse 21, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No doubt Philip mentioned the birth of Jesus and possibly even pointed to the Judean hills only a few miles away where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Philip also may have talked about how that when Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt to protect this child from Herod, that they may have traveled on the very road that we're on right now. Philip also probably talked about the return to Nazareth, where Jesus Christ grew from infancy into manhood. Possibly he mentioned the visit to Jerusalem when Jesus was but 12 years old. And there in Jerusalem, we read how the doctors and the lawyers were amazed that Jesus' ability to answer all kinds of religious questions. And it was during this time that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and with man, Luke 2 and 52. And Philip may have also mentioned the important occasion when Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized of John the Baptist in the Jordan River. We find that account recorded in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And as the chariot wheels turned with these two godly men talking of God and His way for man, it's likely that Philip told of the temptations that Jesus underwent at the end of the 40 days of fasting there in the wilderness, and how that the souls of mankind literally hung in the balances of that. These were moments when Jesus' great spiritual strength and loyalty to God enabled Him to conquer Satan and make possible the salvation of the souls of mankind. And I think Philip must also have mentioned the disciples who eagerly followed the Lord, especially those 12 apostles. These names were not only familiar to the evangelist Philip, but you know, they were his very close friends as well. And it's possible that Philip talked about these various apostles as he named them and talked about all the works that they were involved in. I think it's probable that Philip told the eunuch of the miracles that Jesus had performed. Philip himself knew of people that once had been blind, but now they could see. Philip knew of people that once had been maimed without arms or legs, and now they were made whole with arms or legs. Philip knew personally those that were once dumb, but now they could speak. He knew of those that were once leprous, but now they were made whole. Philip knew those that once were dead physically, and yet now they were alive again. And possibly Philip told of Christ stilling the tempest and walking on the waters of Galilee. Maybe he told how Christ fed 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And possibly because of a lack of time, he might say in the same words of John 20 and verse 30 and many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. Philip probably told of important incidents in the life of Jesus. Maybe he told about the Lord's conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman there, where our Lord taught that marvelous lesson on true worship in John chapter 4. Or maybe he mentioned the parables of Jesus, such as the Good Samaritan or the prodigal son. He may have told the eunuch about the transfiguration of our Lord, where Jesus was exalted above Moses and Elijah, and that voice that thundered from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Philip probably made it clear to the eunuch many of our Lord's teachings as he taught there on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure Philip referred to the parables of our Lord concerning the church and its great importance, such as the pearl of great price, or the church is like a great treasure hid in a field, or the church is like a grain of mustard seed that grows up and becomes like a great tree. And eventually, as those chariot wheels continued to turn, Philip would tell of the hatred and the animosity of the religious leaders of that day toward our Lord. He would have told the eunuch about their plot. He would have told the eunuch about our Lord's betrayal. Now our Lord ultimately was condemned to die that death on the cross. And how he bore his own cross to Calvary, and he hung there for 6 long hours, having been nailed to that old rugged cross, dying the just for the unjust. And there our Lord said those words, it is finished, and breathed his last. Maybe you can imagine the long silence in which the eunuch thought that this glorious story had come to an end because our Lord had died. But then Philip tells the eunuch about the resurrection of our Lord and his appearance unto his disciples. and how that resurrection gives hope and proof to all of us that we too will one day be victorious over the grave. He told of the hopeful future of the coming of the Lord's kingdom. And yet somewhere in his preaching, Philip would have to tell about the church and the plans that Christ had for the church to spread throughout the world to save the souls of man. You know, many people today think that they want to follow Christ without being in his church. But that simply can't be done. You can't preach Christ today without preaching about his church. You can't be in Christ today without being in his church, because Jesus Christ came to build his church, Matthew 16 and verse 18. And so Philip talked to the eunuch about the church and about the great importance and the role of the church in the salvation of mankind. He talked about how the Lord purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. How Christ gave himself for the church, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And how the saved are added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And of course, that would inevitably lead Philip to tell the eunuch how to become a Christian. How to become a member of the Lord's body. Philip must have told the eunuch about the importance of faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus as being the Son of God. How that without faith we can't please God. I'm sure Philip talked to this man about the importance of repentance. How that it's a change of mind that leads to a change of life. Maybe he referred to the words of our Lord in Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He talked to the eunuch about the importance of confessing Christ. Maybe referring to the words of our Lord in Matthew 10 and verse 32, where Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." And of course, he talked to the eunuch about the vital importance of baptism. He may have mentioned what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when those people were pricked in their hearts and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "You repent, you be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins." He may have referred to what Peter talked about in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, that it's the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Maybe he referred to Saul of Tarsus when he was converted and the command he was given to no longer tarry. Don't delay, but arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And of course, there must have been other words of instruction given as questions were asked. And as these two men talked in depth about the story of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. But you know, undoubtedly, there was some mention of the life beyond this life. You know, Philip must have mentioned the great hope of heaven that can get us beyond all the troubles and difficulties of life that we face. Philip may have referred to the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And very possibly toward the end of that sermon, he might have mentioned and referred to the words of our Lord in Matthew 7 and verse 24. Where Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. But whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I would like to think that Philip possibly concluded with the wonderful invitation to come and have eternal life. Just like what we find in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup with me, and he with me." Now, of course, we don't know the specific content of this wonderful sermon. But we do know, in fact, that it was a sermon in which the humble evangelist Philip preached unto him Jesus. And if you look at the text of Acts chapter 8 that we've read, it continues with these words. The Bible says, "As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And the eunuch answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." You see, this story began with a man who knew very little, or perhaps almost nothing, concerning Jesus Christ. But you'll notice at the end of the story, a few hours later, he's a Christian. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that in spite of all the thousands of books that have been written about Jesus Christ, in spite of all the learned treatises and journals that men may write, in spite of all the doctrinal discussions, in spite of all the meetings of councils through the many centuries of time, in spite of everything else, we need to realize that Christianity centers in Christ. And the simple preaching of the gospel of Christ for the salvation of mankind. You see, in our modern 21st century, with all the technology advancements that we have today, we still have the same God, we still have the same Lord, the same church, the same way of salvation. We still have the same need to be saved as this man had on that ancient road long ago that leads to Jerusalem. You see, all the centuries have not changed these essential elements. And our salvation, just like his, depends upon our willingness to obey Jesus and to obey those conditions that are found in his word. And therefore, today we close our message, our lesson today, by extending that same ancient invitation that this eunuch received long ago. See, if you're outside of Christ, like this eunuch was, if you're willing to come to Christ, just like this eunuch did long ago, you can leave this building today rejoicing. If you'll be willing to believe in Jesus Christ with all of your heart, that he's the Son of God, if you'll be willing to change your life, give your life totally and completely to him, just like that eunuch today, you can be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can leave this building today knowing the joy of salvation. This morning, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.